실전 모의고사 2회
18. Dear Cappy, Every year, I take time to look ahead to what the next year has in store for our employees. Next year's outlook is exciting. In the past year, RM Trucking experienced phenomenal growth, moving from the 10th largest trucking firm in New Mexico to the 2nd largest. We project that in the coming year, we will become number one in New Mexico and number two in the combined states of New Mexico and Arizona. It is because of our far-sighted staff that we have been able to achieve this kind of success. Naturally, this success affects everyone who works for RM Trucking. Because of our unique profit-sharing plan, each employee benefits. Next year will be exciting at RM for all of us involved. I hope you will make the most of these opportunities. Sincerely, Ronald Martin, President.
The rain had been falling hard, and the rushing water from the pipe had created a gully that was beginning to fill with water from the rain. Joseph, Sally, and two other neighborhood children, Reggie Santos and Maxine Silva, elbowed each other to get under the rush of the pipe. They let the water run down their backs, and sometimes it came out so strong that it knocked them over. They flopped around in the trench, laughing, the pressure of the water pinning them down and rushing over them. Joseph was letting the water run over his head, while Maxine and Reggie were falling down in the water of the gully. Sally cried, "Joseph, let me stand under the pipe." But when Joseph wouldn't move, she gave him a shove, and surprised by her strength, Joseph toppled over into the water that was about thigh deep. Maxine jumped under the pipe with Sally, and the two splashed each other and laughed heartily.
Think clearly about how you see a potential career now and compare it with how you might view it in 5, 10, or 20 years if you stay in the same field. Don't let your excitement make you think that of course you will love it. Consider its future carefully, where the industry is now and where it is heading. Consider your age, the environment, and the country you are living in, and the changes that they are going through now and will undergo then. Predicting the future is very hard, but not seeing the obvious is unforgivable. For example, once digital photography was invented, it was only going to be a matter of time before it became the dominant technology. Deciding to go into the film processing industry at that point would obviously lead to a dead-end career.
Even within a culture or relationship, the specific communication that is competent in one setting might be a colossal blunder in another. The joking insults you routinely trade with one friend might offend a sensitive family member. Because competent behavior varies so much from one situation and person to another, it's a mistake to think that communication competence is a trait that a person either has or does not have. It's more accurate to talk about degrees or areas of competence. You might deal quite skillfully with peers, for example, but feel clumsy interacting with people much older or younger, wealthier or poorer, or more or less attractive than yourself. In fact, your competence with one person may vary from situation to situation. This means that it's an overgeneralization to say in a moment of distress, "I'm a terrible communicator," when it's more accurate to say, "I didn't handle this situation very well, even though I'm better in others."
22. The biofuel craze places significant stress on agriculture. In the United States, the growth of the biofuel industry has triggered increases not only in the prices of corn and other grains, but also in the prices of seemingly unrelated crops and products. Food processors who use crops such as peas and sweet corn have been forced to pay higher prices to keep their supplies secure. Rising feed prices are also hitting the livestock and poultry industries, causing their returns to fall sharply, especially in the poultry and swine sectors. If returns continue to drop, production will decline, and the prices for chicken, turkey, pork, milk, and eggs will rise. A number of Iowa's pork producers could go out of business in the next few years as they are forced to compete with ethanol plants for corn supplies.
You would probably find it very hard to write simple instructions on how to tie your shoelaces, how to ride a bicycle, or how to swim. Following someone else's instructions can be equally difficult. If you ask a stranger for directions in an unfamiliar town, they may know where you should go and yet be unable to explain it to you. Similarly, if you buy an electronic device or some flat-pack furniture, you may find the allegedly easy-to-follow instruction manual incomprehensible. And it's a strange fact that no matter how carefully you follow Grandma's recipe for a cake, it never tastes quite the same as it does when she makes it. When it comes to sport, the writer David Foster Wallace once complained that the autobiographies of great athletes are often boring because the athletes themselves are stunningly inarticulate about precisely those skills that constitute their fascination.
The above graph shows how the Japanese, the American, and the Chinese feel their country's place in the world stage. Only about a quarter of Japanese people believe that their country plays a more important role in the world today compared to 10 years ago. The Chinese are more likely than the Japanese or the American to say their country plays a more important role in the world compared to 10 years ago. The rate of Chinese people believing that their country's role is as important as it did 10 years ago is the same as that of Chinese people believing that their country plays a less important role than it did 10 years ago. Less than a third of Japanese people hold the view that Japan's role is less important than it was a decade ago. The rate of Americans feeling that their country's role is less important than 10 years ago is higher than that of Americans feeling that their country plays as important a role as it did 10 years ago.
25. Snakeheads are native to much of Asia, where they are commonly caught and are prized for the dinner table. In North America, the fish is considered an invasive species. After a fisherman found a snakehead in a pond in Maryland, it caused a media sensation. Biologists warned that the large freshwater fish could readily become established in North America, where it could wreak havoc on native ecosystems. A snakehead can reach a length of 1 meter. They prey on invertebrates, frogs, and smaller fish, though they are known to attack anything moving when they are breeding. Snakeheads can breathe air and can survive out of water for up to 4 days. They can survive much longer periods of drought by burrowing into the mud. They are also frequently kept as aquarium fish and are noted for their aggressive behavior.
26. DeSoto State Park's primitive campsite. Our primitive campsite is composed of 21 individual wooded campsites and 3 large group sites. Each individual campsite has a fire pit and enough room for two tents. A toilet, picnic tables, trash cans, picnic shelter, and a water faucet are centrally located in the campground. Rate: $15 per night. For up to 8 people, with only 2 tents allowed individual campsite. A deposit of 1 night's rent fee is required to hold a reservation. Cancellation of a reservation has to be within 72 hours before arrival. Additional information. Group sites available for large groups only by reservations only. Group rates are for scout groups, church groups, school group, etc. Tents must be within 20 feet of the fire pit on site. For more information, please visit our website www.desotospcc.com.
Kids World Fun Short Story Contest. Kids World Fun Short Story Contest is a biannual event that provides a platform for students around the world to display their fiction writing skills. Entry is free, and all outstanding stories are published on the website. Contest rules. Deadline is July 31st, 2019. Winners will be announced on the 20th of August, 2019 on our website. The contest is open to young people ages 12 to 18 all over the world. The story has to be written in English. The theme of the short story is your choice. There are two categories. A. Juniors, 12 to 14 years old. B. Seniors, 15 to 18 years old. The prizes for each category are as follows. First prize, $700. Second prize, $500. Third prize, $300. Contact us at inquiry@kidsfun.com for any queries.
Strong proof of the effect of repeated exposure was obtained in a large college lecture hall. 4 young women pretended to be students in the class. Avoiding contact with the other students in the class, the first woman attended 1 lecture, the second attended 10 lectures, and the third attended 15. The fourth woman did not attend any of the lectures. At the end of the course, students were shown slides of the 4 women and asked about their feelings and attitudes toward them. Despite the fact that the students had no personal contact with the women, the liking they reported toward them was directly related to the number of times that they had seen them in class. The woman who attended all the lectures was liked the most. In addition, the more lectures a woman attended, the more likely she was to be perceived by the students as attractive, intelligent, interesting, and similar to themselves.
Although coaches can employ sports psychologists themselves to help their athletes, there may be some instances in which coaches are reluctant to introduce a sport psychologist to his or her team or athlete. For example, a coach may be hesitant to hire a sport psychologist if he or she has just started coaching an athlete or team, because the coach may feel that the sport psychologist could in some ways undermine his or her relationship with the team or athletes. Some athletes might not feel comfortable talking about their feelings or problems with sports psychologists who they do not know and would prefer to speak to their coach. In these instances, coaches might prefer not to employ a sports psychologist, even though the team or athlete could benefit from mental training. In these instances, coaches could provide psychological training themselves and incorporate psychology within their coaching.
30. Jackson purchased a new inflatable sled to tow behind his ski boat for his 7-year-old son, Charles, to ride on. One day, the family went to a large lake, hopped into the boat, and sped out into the middle of the lake. Jackson then turned the boat off, threw the inflatable sled out, and attached it to the rear of the boat. In Jackson's mind, Charles would simply hold on to the sled while Jackson towed him around the lake. There was one problem Jackson hadn't envisaged, however. Charles froze upon seeing the deep water and said he wasn't strong enough to hold on to the sled without falling off. Jackson got annoyed. He knew that once Charles got out there, he'd love it. But the more Jackson pressured, the more convinced Charles became that he couldn't handle the sled. Eventually, Jackson yelled in frustration, Charles burst into tears, and Charles's mother told her husband not to push him any further. The day was a disaster.
If you've been in a golf shop lately, you'll know that the shops often provide a small putting green where customers can try out new putters. But these greens, it turns out, are less about the putter than they are about the one doing the putting. The greens are actually secret confidence builders that can induce people to buy more expensive clubs than they otherwise might. One experiment found that when people putted on such greens from a 3-foot distance, they sank more of their putts, and as a result, thought they were much better golfers than others who putted from a 10-foot distance. The 3-footers, for instance, ranked themselves in the 35th percentile of skill, whereas the 10-footers ranked themselves only in the 15th percentile. This ego boost, as it turns out, is an effective sales tool. Those who putted on the shorter green thought they should buy higher-end equipment than those who putted from a longer distance.
32. Talking birds do not decompose their imitations into discrete units. Polly and Molly do not rhyme for a parrot. They are as different as hello and goodbye. If Polly learns Polly wants a cracker and Polly wants a donut, and also learns to say whiskey and bagel, she will not then spontaneously produce Polly wants whiskey or Polly wants a bagel. Or Polly wants whiskey and a bagel. If she learns cat and cats and dog and dogs, and then learns the word parrot, she will not be able to form the plural parrots as children do. Unlike every developing child, a parrot cannot generalize from particular instances, and so cannot produce utterances that have not been directly taught. A parrot, even a very chatty one, cannot produce an unlimited set of sentences from a finite set of units. The imitative utterances of talking birds mean nothing to the birds. These utterances have no communicative function. Simply knowing how to produce a sequence of speech sounds is not the same as knowing a language.
33. Not only did the extinctions of large mammals in the Pleistocene retard the onset of agricultural villages on the Americas, but it deprived the continents of animal-drawn plow agriculture and the ability to develop the full range of agricultural systems that were developed in other parts of the world. Most importantly, perhaps, the lack of traction animals inhibited the development of wheeled vehicles. The Mexicans had no trouble inventing the wheel, but they used it only to make toys for their children. Without traction animals, they had little incentive to build carts. Harnessing people to wagons is not much of an improvement over having them carry cargo on their heads or backs, especially if one includes the cost of building roads that are level enough and wide enough to accommodate an ox cart. The Inca did build an extensive network of roads, but only for human and llama foot traffic, saving themselves a lot of expense by using steps rather than switchbacks to master steep slopes.
Think about the last article you remember reading. What made it stick in your mind? Chances are that there was something that surprised or tickled you. That's an interesting thing about the brain's automatic spam filter. It tends to block information that people don't already agree with, but you can get through the filter with something that feels novel or intriguing. These qualities delight the brain's reward system, perhaps because they speak to our social nature. It feels good to be able to tell others that we saw something unusual or startling. It makes us feel that we're offering something of value to our tribe. UCLA neuroscientist Matt Lieberman conducted a series of experiments showing that an idea is more likely to stick with listeners if they can imagine themselves telling someone else about it. It turns out that this is even more important than whether or not they even like the idea. So, a good general guide on whether you're getting people's attention is to ask yourself, are people going to feel like telling someone else what I told them?
Certain segments of the sporting goods industry are much more susceptible to weather than others. Skiing, snowboarding, golf, tennis, soccer, and baseball, for example, require appropriate conditions, such as snow, dry weather, or warm weather. Slight changes in the number of days available for participation will have a significant impact on overall sales and participation levels. As with most service products, the consumer's interpretation and enjoyment of the sport product are open to considerable subjectivity. Marketing programs are precisely developed to start at a certain point, and for most sports, a significant amount of equipment purchasing is done at or right after the beginning of the season for the sport. Even a modest delay in the start of a season can result in sales declines on a year-to-year comparison, particularly for products whose consumption is specifically related to the number of playable days during a season, such as golf or tennis balls or even apparel.
As an art therapist, I regard clients' metaphoric artworks as being similar to parables. A. On the other hand, when the meaning of a client's art piece remains implicit, the interpretive work is left for the client. For art therapists, the ability to wait for clients to make their own interpretations invites a deeper therapeutic relationship. B. To do this, I avoid making overt my preferred interpretations of their artworks. If I assign a particular meaning to a client's creation, I undermine the client's own ability to discover meaning. C. There is a juxtaposition of the physical objects people create and the life experiences they bring to the moment of creation. My therapeutic goal is to help people explore different interpretations of their art so they themselves can decide what it means.
37. Cloud feedback is the combined result of changes in the amount of cover, height, and the whiteness of the cloud. Because different types of clouds have different effects on the solar and thermal radiation, cloud feedback is complicated. A. Thus, high clouds usually have a net warming effect on the planet. Low clouds are warm and highly opaque to solar and thermal radiation. However, because low clouds are not much colder than the surface, their main effect is to increase the amount of solar radiation scattered to space. B. climate models cannot even determine if the overall cloud feedback is positive or negative. High clouds are optically thin and cold. Because they are reasonably opaque to thermal radiation, they scatter a relatively small amount of solar radiation when compared to the amount of thermal radiation they emit. C. Therefore, low clouds usually produce a net cooling of the planet. On the other hand, low clouds over bright and cold surfaces, such as snow or ice, can have a positive climate feedback. The net result depends on details of cloud properties, such as particle size distribution and concentration.
People who hoard save possessions because they intend to use them someday. They view possessions as having a useful function and value, each because they intend to use the item someday, even if they've never used the item before. The unlimited number of uses for an item only complicates the person's belief that she might need it someday. People with hoarding behaviors are extremely creative in coming up with countless hypothetical uses for a given possession. For example, people who hoard might keep an empty tin because they see its limitless possibilities. Someday, they might use it as a pencil cup, a small plant holder, a money jar, part of an art project, a cookie cutter, a rolling pin, or a scoop for laundry detergent. Thus, a tin can is not just a tin can in the eyes of the person who hoards. For this reason, simply asking the person whether he has used the item in the past wouldn't make him feel any more comfortable about getting rid of it, since the object represents a world of ways to use it somehow.
Although arguing with other people consists of rational persuasion, being rational does not mean we must deny that we are human beings, with feelings and emotions. But what is important here, in the context of critical thinking, is that you don't let your emotions get in the way of your reasoning. You are not going to convince, that is, persuade, others to feel the same way you do just because you happen to have certain emotions. It doesn't make sense to claim that one person should be happy or sad simply because someone else is. However, when your emotions start to stir, try to determine why you are feeling them. That is, if you are feeling angry or afraid, ask yourself why. And if you are feeling excited or sad, why? By looking inward and examining your own emotions, you may be able to discover their cause and turn them into reasons for your argument.
40. Suppose I have a friend who is an excellent skier. One day, as I see him flying down the slope, I remark, "My, he's a good skier." Now think how odd it would be to treat this remark as a comment about his character, as though I had said, "My, he's a good person." The word "good" is a general word of appraisal. Sometimes we use it in an ethical way. We do this when we want to improve the rightness of an action or the moral qualities of a person. For example, we are likely to describe individuals who are unusually kind or who devote their lives to helping others as good people. But we can also use good to say that someone excels at something, even when we find the activity quite reprehensible on moral grounds. "He's a good burglar" tells us that a person is competent at a form of theft. Not that we approve of theft or believe that theft is morally acceptable. Though the word "good" is a general word of judgment, it can be used not only for ethical judgment, but also for the judgment of competence.
41-42. Sociological facts help explain development of different ways of thinking or cognitive styles of different civilizations. Consider, for example, the contrast between ancient China and ancient Greece. In part because of complex irrigation needs, the rice agriculture of ancient southern China required substantial cooperation among neighbors. It had to be centrally organized in an elaborate hierarchy within a large state. Harmony and social order were therefore central to ancient Chinese life. Ancient Chinese thinking, in turn, tended to stress the importance of mutual social obligation and consensus rather than debate. Ancient Chinese philosophy focused on the way whole systems, not separate categories, cause processes and events. In contrast, the hills and seashores of ancient Greece were suited to small-scale herding and fishing. Ancient Greece was less socially complex than ancient China. It was more politically decentralized. It gave its citizens more personal freedom. Consequently, philosophies tended to be analytical, which means, among other things, that processes and events were viewed as the result of discrete categories rather than whole systems. Markedly different civilizations grew up on these different cognitive foundations. Different ways of thinking depended less on people's innate characteristics than on the structure of society. Clearly, society plays a major role in shaping the way we think and the way we think of ourselves.
A. In 1811, a Scottish settler named John McIntosh moved to a farmstead in Dundas County, Ontario, Canada. To prepare the land for farming, he cleared trees off his property. Hidden in the dense bush, John found a cluster of 20 young apple trees. To the young farmer, finding the trees was as good as finding gold. Apples were a valuable commodity to pioneer settlers. They could be eaten straight off the tree in summer, stored in a cool place for the winter, cooked into cakes and pies, or even squeezed into refreshing juice or cider. B. This procedure is called grafting. As the seedling grows, the twig grows as well. It becomes the top of the new tree and bears the same fruit as the original. The method worked. John began traveling around the area selling branches of the tree to other farmers. With each sale, he showed them how to graft the branches to their own apple seedlings. The original tree on John McIntosh's farm died in 1910. But today, offspring of the original tree grow in far-off places all around the world. C. For over 20 years, the tree continued to bear fruit, but never enough to satisfy everyone. Then one day in 1835, a wandering farmhand happened to hear the story of the single tree with the delicious fruit. He offered to help John. Taking a sharp knife, he cut a short twig from the apple tree, walked over to a young seedling tree, carved a small slit into its bark near the top, and inserted the twig. Using some string, he wrapped it around the joint to keep it in place. D. John uprooted the young trees and transplanted them closer to his home. The following season, he had an ample supply of tasty apples. However, one of the trees produced an especially sweet and delicious fruit. It quickly became a favorite with the whole family and with neighbors near and far. Unfortunately, one tree could hardly produce enough fruit to satisfy a single family, let alone the entire neighborhood. Although he tried planting seeds taken from the fruit, the new trees did not bear the same apples.